I'm going to preach a message, and I thought about this many times. If I had one message to leave you, if I knew that I say, hey, Perry is getting ready to leave the world, if I had one message to leave you, what would it be? This would be the message I would want you to remember. This is the message I would leave you. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. There's four unchanging facts in your life. Fact number one is God had foreknowledge of you before you were born. How do I know that? Jeremiah 1 and 5, he tells the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew who you were, and I ordained you to be a prophet. The second thing you need to know is that God desires for you to have eternal life. John 3, 16, he so loved the world that those that believe on the Son would gain what? Eternal life. So he knew you before you were born. It is his will for you to gain access to eternal life. The third thing, which is a fact, is this. You will eventually die or be caught up in the rapture. How many of you like the second choice better? There will be those that will never face physical death like Enoch did and even Elijah, because they will be caught up to meet the Lord as living, and then there are the dead in Christ. So one way or the other, one of those two ways, the Lord willing, will come your way. And the fourth thing I want you to share with you, and this is very important, is you have a personal judgment coming in the court of heaven. And Paul was so concerned about this, he wrote a verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 30 and 31. It should come on the screen. For we know him, for we know him, that has said, vengeance belongs to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Now, we could say it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God, and that would be a Jonathan Edwards message. But here it says a living God. So he's saying to you, forget all the idols in the Corinthian world, the Greek world, the Roman world. They have no authority to do what our God can do. Our God is living, but everyone will eventually stand before him. And notice this, it said God will judge his people. Now, when we talk about God judging his people, let me say this to you. You all, does anybody remember when you were like a teenager? Man, y'all have bad memories. We're going to pray for memories tonight in the Billy Burke meeting. Let's say it again. How many can remember the teenage days? Do you know when you were in the teenage days, you never thought about dying, did you? And you always worried about who you're going to marry, and you're worried about what your career, not worry, but you were concerned about what your career is going to be. Can I tell you something happens when you hit about 65? First of all, you look at all that stuff you collect and say, what am I going to do with this? Right? Then the second thing you start saying, how can we sell this and get rid of it? You know? Or how can I give away the stuff I'm going to give people? I want to give people the things I want to give them while they're living and I'm living. Really, not in the will. You know, everybody's like, oh, I can't believe he thought of me. Well, I want you to look at me and say, I can't believe you thought of me. You know, I would rather see it from you now than later. But here's the thing I want to tell you. When you get to be in your 60s and you're a believer, you really begin to think about what we call mortality of the physical body and immortality that comes in the life to come. You begin to think about how corruptible things are on earth and how incorruption is in your future and lies before you. So you begin to think about, at least I do, what's going to happen in not only are you going to die? Are you going to go in the rapture? Only God knows that about all of us. But the other thing is, you begin to think about after this, the judgment. Now, let me give you the verse from the book of Revelation chapter 11, 18 through 19, which is the main verse concerning the judgment that I want to talk to you about. It's called the Bema in Greek. The nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, small and great, and you should destroy those who destroy the earth. This refers to the tribulation period there. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. Now, that's not the ark Moses built. That one is still on earth somewhere, probably hidden or very much decayed. This is the original one that Moses saw on the mountain that he copied for one on earth at the tabernacle. So there's the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, and it was seen inside the temple, and there were lightning, thunders, voices, earthquake, and also great hail. When does this particular judgment take place? And the answer is, it's the first 42 months of the tribulation. And it's during that first 42 months that we arrive in heaven and this event called the Bema takes place. Now, it will take place, I'll quote this verse in a moment, at something called the Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, which is located at the throne room of God. The people involved in this will be basically New Testament saints, or what we call the dead in Christ, that will be judged at the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ. You can't judge the Old Testament people at a judgment seat of Christ because they didn't have the gospel. They have their own judgment. But this will be a judgment for all of us who have lived on the earth from the time of the thief on the cross to the time of the very last person that repents on earth at the time of the coming of the Lord. And then the purpose of this judgment is not necessarily to expose sins, because a person's sins should be under the blood at the time of this judgment. So they cannot be brought up if they are completely covered by the blood and forgiven. But what this is, I'm going to explain it to you in a moment, is this is a judgment that deals with whether a person receives crowns or no crowns, whether they receive the rewards, which are eternal, incorruptible rewards, whether they receive positions on the earth during the millennial reign to rule over nations or kingdoms, their positions, will they have one, will they not, will they be rewarded, will they not. Now, Paul made it very clear, and this is something that I want to really emphasize in the body of Christ, because I do not like it when I see Christians attacking other Christians. I never have liked it. I don't believe it's the right attitude. I believe if you have a problem, the Bible says, go to your brother. So you don't go behind their back and stab him and talk about him. You go to your brother and you try to correct these things. That is the biblical way of doing things. But look at this scripture, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 10 and 11. Why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? This is the brother or sister in the Lord. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now notice he said stand. He didn't say we're going to appear just necessarily, or we're going to be sitting. We're going to have to stand face to face at the judgment seat of Christ. That Greek word judgment seat is bema. And I'll maybe tell you about that in just a moment. Well, I'll just tell you what it was. In the Greek time, Roman time, it was a race platform where when people would run a race, they would come to the platform and the judges were there. And they would give them those beautiful crowns that were oak leaves or that were dipped in gold and that shape. And they'd give them beautiful crowns and they would declare who came in first, who came in second, who came in third, similar to the Olympics. So that's the bema where you stand at the judgment. For it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give an account of himself to God, for we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every man receive things done in the body according to what he's done. And this is interesting, whether good or bad. Now, how can there be bad things? Because I call these the four C's, the four C's. Here are four things that you're going to be judged by. Number one, you're going to be judged by your conversation, then your charity, your contributions, and your character. Those are your four C's that this judgment involves. Let's talk about those real brief. The first area of the judgment deals with your conversation. Matthew chapter 12, you all know this verse, 35 through 37. Every idle word shall a person give an account of on that day. The word idle word there is not idle as an object. It means worthless or useless. So the conversations that were worthless, useless, not edifying, critical, complaining, every person will give an account of the words they've spoken. How many of you that scares you a little bit? Thank you for being honest, okay? Look at the preacher on that one. Number two, your charity will be judged. Now, that's found in Matthew chapter 25, 31 through 40, where it says, if you give someone, think about this, a drink of water, who needs a drink of water, you will not lose your reward. Giving people a drink of water, feeding the poor, clothing the poor, working in a prison, sending help to prisoners, all this is a part of Matthew 25 and other verses that deal with how your charity is judged. Then your contributions are judged. Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4 makes this statement. It says, when you give your alms, and that word alms is an old King James word for your charity, your giving. That would include your Malachi chapter 4, your tithe. That would include your offerings in Matthew 6. So these things that you do as far as contributions or giving, this is what God said to Cornelius. Your prayers and alms have come up before God as a memorial, which means there are record books. Now think about this. There are record books in heaven of everything you've given. given, every time you've tithed, it's recorded. Every time that you've given an offering, it is recorded. All you guys that gave for missions last night, I'm telling you, this is Bible. There is a record book in heaven that has recorded your giving, and then God uses that record with the record of the results that come through how you gave it. Let's say we go on TV in maybe a country that, which we did recently, we went on all over the Nordic countries in Sweden, where they're starting to get people saved or filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, you helped me in the offering, so God knows how to credit that. Let me tell you, if AI can figure this out like that, I know God can, okay? So don't worry about how he keeps records. He's got a good record-keeping system. And the fourth thing you're going to be judged by is your character on how did you live. Were you honest? Were you a person of your word? Did you cheat the boss and you kind of went out for a couple hours and still got paid for it? Oh, it got so quiet there. You didn't show up on time, so you kind of fixed the clock where it showed that you showed up on. Now, all this is a part of character. Did you tell your neighbor you were going to do something and you did it or you didn't do? So, and someone says, how in the world can God do this? Well, here's what it says. Every person shall give an account. Now, that Greek word account is logos, and it means you will have a record. It really is saying this. There is a reckoning. Just like you bring in people to look at your books, check the books, you make sure they're okay, you make sure everything's in order. This is the reckoning of looking at you and saying, were you in order or out of order? So this is this huge judgment. Now, it says that you'll be rewarded. Some will be rewarded for the good, but people who did the bad or they did not follow through. And we're not talking about major sins here, but we're talking about things that, let's say you were called to do something. You were called to be at a place. You were called to work in a ministry. You even felt called to volunteer, but you chose instead. And I'm going to make a statement here and I'll get some kickback on it. But I know of some ministers that used to be really powerful ministers. And it's one of them was a great singer, and now they've got into marketing. They don't do a lot of ministry like they used to, but now they're telling you how to go to the internet and telling you how to do this and telling you to do that. Okay, that's their business. But the verse it reminds me of is beware that the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, come on, and cares of life choke the word and you become unfruitful. I am not about to allow myself to get in an area where those three things affect my life, because when they affect my life, they affect my reward. If you say you are called to preach, you need to get up and you need to go preach the gospel, because that's what your calling is. Let somebody else be a life coach. I'm preaching better than you're listening, but it's okay. So here's what the Bible says. Your works shall be tried. Now, there's different Greek words for the word tried. For example, you've heard me preach on perazo, which is a test that comes. But this is the other Greek word, dokimazo, and it's 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. And it's a test. It's a test that you go through to see how you come. So what happens is your works, here we go, conversation, charity, contributions, and character will have to be tested. Here's what it says, as by fire. Let's look at the verse to prove this. Every man's work, this is 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Every man's works shall be manifest. That means made visible. For the day shall declare it. That means the day of judgment or the day they stand at the bema. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, in other words, if it goes through the fire and it endures the fire, it says this, that he abide, which he has built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be, and this man or woman, by the way, shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but himself shall be saved as by fire. So this is the old expression the old preachers used to use. Bless God, some of you are going to make it in by the skin of your teeth. Some of you are going to make it in by the hair of your head. Now, really, that's what it's talking about, okay? You didn't do much to deserve anything from God. You did nothing. You focused on your life, your business, your job, your house, your car. Everything was about living down here, but yet you loved the Lord. You did repent of your sins. You did attend church and try to do the best you could. So the reward may not be there because the deeds were not done to deserve the reward. And that's what he's saying. But however, because you were saved, you will still be able to enter the kingdom of God. Now, the main goal in 1 Corinthians 9:24-25 is, if you've read this, is to win the prize, to finish the race strong, or to finish the finish line. line and be able to cross it and know that you have done something in order to receive the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Paul talks about. And what the prize is are five different types of crowns. Now, I'm going to give you an example. There is a martyr's crown. Charlie Kirk has a crown that a lot of you will never get. It's called a martyr's crown, being martyred for the gospel. Stephen has a martyr's crown. Paul, Peter, they have a martyr's crown. So there's a special crown. And also, if you read Revelation, if you saw my teaching I did on Charlie Kirk, and this man was a martyr. If you ever looked at that, I went in detail on YouTube to show you how that there is a special place in heaven, in paradise, where martyrs go, found in the book of Revelation. And that's where anyone who dies for the gospel goes. But when the beam of judgment takes place, where does it take place? It takes place in heaven, which is the throne room area of God. It's, by the way, it's massive. I had a vision of Jesus when I was in Oklahoma. Never had one in my life. Everything was orange, red in color, standing between two pillars, and he stood up on his throne. And I'm telling you, it made my whole day. It made my month when I saw it. But I saw what kind of it would look like where he is there in the throne room, and he's got these two, just like the temple of Solomon, and Herod had two columns on the outside with pomegranates on top that were carved, and they were given two different names. Jesus was standing between two huge columns. His throne was between that, and it was a beautiful, beautiful vision that I can still see very clearly in my mind. But that it will happen in heaven, because heaven is the throne room of God, but heaven is also the courtroom. Now, there is a building, some of you have my teaching on this, called the Temple of the Tabernacle of the Testimony, which in my opinion was one of the top three teachings the Lord ever revealed to me about the subject. Now, look at this scripture. I'm reading this one day and it jumps out at me. After this, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. That means the doors were open. Seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in linen, pure and white linen, having their breasts girded with golden girdles. That's chapter 15 of Revelation, verse 5 and 6. Now, when you look at this, first of all, you see the word temple, and you see the word tabernacle, and you see the word testimony. The word temple here has reference to, the Greek is naos, and it refers to the holiest place in the ancient temples. Whether it was a Greek or Roman temple, they had a holy place where they put their idol, but in the Jerusalem temple that worshiped the true God, there was a holy of holies where the Ark of the Covenant was. So the naos is the holiest place of the temple. So it's at the throne room, at the throne of God, which is the holiest place in heaven. That's what that refers to. The word tabernacle here in Greek is the Greek word skene, and it actually refers to something like a tent, similar to the Old Testament tabernacle that was built by Moses in the wilderness. So it was a place where sacrifices were made. It was a place where the sacred furniture was. It was a place where God came down on the Day of Atonement once a year. So when you put these two together, you understand there's this massive building, but it's a temple of the tabernacle of what? The testimony. When you look at the word testimony, it's used 32 times in the New Testament, and it is a word for judicial evidence. So it is a place, watch this, it's a massive building. Don't even compare it to this building. Don't even compare it to Manhattan, New York. I'm telling you, this is massive, and it has all information of every human on earth. It has the Lamb's Book of Life there. It has the Book of Works, the Book of Deeds, the Book of Tears, the Book of Remembrance. Everything is in that tabernacle, and it's my belief that that's where the Bema is, that you come in, the Ark of the Covenant is there. You know why the ark is up there in heaven? Because if you'll read the book of Hebrews, it's in the Bible. Jesus took his own blood and sanctified the furniture in heaven. So when you're standing at the judgment, you see an ark over there. And we know human blood eventually dries, but it's still there. And that is the picture. I'm getting caught up here now. When Stephen was being stoned, he said, he saw Jesus on the right hand of God standing up. Why is Jesus standing up? Because on the Day of Atonement, when a priest is making atonement, he has to stand the entire time that atonement is being made. He can only sit down after atonement is made. So Stephen is praying a prayer, God, to forgive the enemies, correct? So what does the high priest have to do? He has to hear the prayer, look at the prayer, stand up as the high priest, and make atonement. While Stephen is being stoned, Jesus is standing, and he said, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Well, the way this temple is set up, I wish I had more time to preach this, but the temple of the tabernacle of testimony is behind the throne of God. You got to pass the throne of God and go into this massive building where all the angels and all the trumpet judgments, file judgments, and books of heaven are kept. Massive from the beginning of time. And when you walk in there, you see, John said, I saw those temple doors open. I saw the Ark of the Covenant. You understand when those doors are open, Jesus Christ, when you're saying, forgive me, all he has to do is stand and look at the Ark where his blood is. Come on. And why did he do that? It's a witness. The blood is a witness of redemption. The blood is proof that the crucifixion take place. The blood is evidence. Lord have mercy. So here in this temple, there will be judicial evidence, your birth, your destiny, your life, your death, and everything connected to you personally. Now, what is also interesting is there's this great heavenly connection. First of all, let me give the scriptures. In Luke chapter 10, verse 20, there's an initial time of repentance when your name is written in heaven. But if a person should sin, not practice sin, but if you fall into sin, then 1 John chapter 2 and 1 is for you. I write to you that you sin not, but if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you have an attorney in heaven who is Jesus. You have a judge who is the heavenly fathers. You have the angels that are the witnesses. You have the elders. 12 of those are from the New Testament, the 12 apostles. It's a courtroom in heaven. 1 John 1 and 9 says this, and if you sin and confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's where the praise goes to the Lord right there. It was said to be one of the greatest gatherings in the history of our ministry, the best of revival and prophecy combined. If you're interested in a right now word from the Lord and messages that reveal coming events that will inspire and equip you for the future, then these 9 messages are a must on your list to see and hear. Now, I could say so much about each one. However, let me just give you the titles that reveal some of the content. Jonathan Cahn preached on prophetic hints in recent events, what God is saying through these things. Tommy Bates preached the message, it is time to see signs and wonders for your children. And then we have Joseph Z, who taught a great message on God has unfinished business with America. Billy Burke conducted a healing service that went till 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh my goodness, his message called Get Back the Expectations That You Can Receive a Miracle was a dynamic faith builder. Now, I preach 5 messages that I want to give you the titles on. The Hebrew year 5252, a massive prophetic discoveries. We also preached on AI discoveries proving that God exists and prophecy is true. One message that left everybody talking was, if I had one message to leave you, this would be it. We had a Friday afternoon service and I exposed 4 things that almost destroyed me. Well, what a talked about message that was. Saturday morning, I preached on dying ministers and the mysterious harbingers of the end of the age. Now, these 9 DVDs come in an album for offer number 25 ME-DVD for $95. The 9 audio CDs are also available in an album for offer number 25 ME-CD for a gift of $55. The messages on the MP3 flash drive are offer number 25 ME-USB for $55. You can also get the messages on digital download, and you can get that at DL25ME for $45, video on demand, and there's actually 5 ways that you can order these messages, and I hope you will take the time to do it. Now, you can also call Voice of Evangelism at 423-478-3456. You can order online at perrystone.org, or you can write us and send a check to Perry Stone Ministries. It doesn't go to me, but it goes to Voice of Evangelism, and you can request CDs, DVDs, flash drive, or any other methods that we have. Now look, VOE is able to reach the world because of your continual support of these resources and offers that we make available. We have many doors opening, but we can only go through them with your help. We know that these messages are going to change the outcome of your situation, so order them today. You just saw the edited version of a clip of the entire message that is available unedited on the DVDs or CDs or the flash drive MP3 player of the main event. And I want you to hear this message in its entirety. It was very much talked about after it was completed. As you get deeper into it, I share information that I want you to hear. And all the messages were so dynamic. You have to actually listen to them over and over again several times to glean all of the content that is on them. Now, let me say something to you. One of the ways that we keep Manifest going on around the world is the purchase of resource materials. So I pray that you'll do that. And also, I want you to look at the symposium that we have. We want you to look at the Warrior Fest, which is now open for registration at the end of March. The International Prophetic Summit is now open for registration at the end of April. We also have just a very few seats left for our Israel trip in May. We have Pam's cruise coming up in the month of September, her big birthday cruise. PerryStone.org has all the information about these events. Also, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page. Go to my Facebook page and just hook with us through Facebook. And also, I want you to go to our YouTube channel and keep up with our YouTube channel as well. We want to reach people. We want to reach souls. We want to minister to you. We want to teach you. We want to bless you. And this is the many ways that it can be done. We're looking forward to hearing from you and getting your set of messages.
The world is shifting, and many sense it, yet few truly discern the times. That's why Perry Stone and Bill Cloud are hosting an urgent one-day, six-hour prophetic webinar. On Sunday, February 15th, 2026, together, they'll reveal behind-the-scenes insight on global alignments, America's fragile position, and the controversies shaping today's culture, including the recent attacks on Israel by Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens. This event is exclusively for registered viewers. No television, no social media, and limited viewing spots are available. Your donation of $10 or more grants full access, including the live Q&A. Registration is available only at PerryStone.org. To secure your spot, go now to PerryStone.org.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z, Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit PerryStone.org for more details. Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2026 Israel tour. The dates are May 12th through the 21st. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. For more information and how to register, scan the QR code on the screen or visit PerryStone.org. Seating is limited, so contact us today.